River watershed. I'm Rick Ganley. This is NHPR News.
From New Hampshire Public Radio, I'm Laura Kanoy, and this is The Exchange. ...2014 is supposed to be the year for President Obama's signature domestic effort, the Affordable Care Act, when many of the law's last pieces click into place. For example, starting yesterday, coverage from insurance products purchased on the new marketplaces began after a difficult launch last fall. Also, the final consumer protection components of the law kicked in, such as barring insurance discrimination against those with pre-existing conditions. And Medicaid coverage is being extended to a much wider pool of low-income Americans, with about half the states participating and half the states not. Where New Hampshire falls will be tackled by the legislature when it reconvenes next week. Then by the end of March, another key deadline arrives, the individual mandate. If you don't have coverage by then, you'll have to pay a penalty on your tax return. And lastly, this fall, the ACA will again face a political test in November's midterm elections. Today in The Exchange, what the calendar holds for the Affordable Care Act in the new year. We'll find out what to expect and look back at some of the unexpected events surrounding this law last year. Let's hear from you, too. Do you see the ACA heading in the right direction or not? Have you signed up for coverage on the new marketplace? If so, what was your experience? How do you think our legislature should vote on Medicaid expansion? And lastly, how do you think the ACA will play out in the fall elections? Give us a call. The exchange number is 1-800-892-6477. 1-800-892-NHPR. Send us a short email, exchange@nhpr.org. Post a comment on our Facebook page, NHPR Exchange. That's all one word. We have two guests for the hour, two people who've been following this very closely. NHPR's health reporter Todd Bookman is with me in studio. And Todd, thanks for taking the time out.
Good morning, Laura.
Also joining us from D.C., Jay Hancock, reporter for Kaiser Health News. And Jay, thank you as well. I know you're busy.
Laura, nice to be here.
Well, gentlemen, before we look forward to the new year, and as I just said, there is a lot going on with this law in 2014, I want to just spend a little time looking back. And Jay Hancock, to you first, please. What were the Obama administration's hopes going into 2013 about what would happen with the Affordable Care Act?
The administration's hopes were that the exchange computers would work well, that lots of publicity would go out about people with lacking insurance, getting those people to sign up through healthcare.gov and some of the portals run by the states, that officials in Republican states hostile to the health law wouldn't be too hostile in terms of allowing it to roll out. And I think it's fair to say that a lot of those hopes were dashed. Probably what's most familiar to the listeners is I think it's fair to describe it as a disaster of a rollout of the healthcare.gov website. It did not come together. The administration said it would be ready by October 1st. It wasn't. Sign up was extremely slow because of that reason, because the computers weren't working. The publicity, the promotion slowed down as well. And you saw really, really minimal sign-ups in October, even through the end of November. Only about 250,000 people had signed up for these private health care plans that are being sold through these online marketplaces. The administration had projected, I should correct that, the Congressional Budget Office had projected that about 7 million people would sign up for these products by that March deadline that you mentioned. And things were looking pretty bad through the end of November. They kind of got the website, the front end of the website, working in December, and there was a rush of enrollment in the last 4 weeks. Recently, Health and Human Services Secretary Kathleen Sebelius said that overall in the federal marketplace and the state-run marketplaces, about 2 million people have signed up for Obamacare. That's a lot more than people expected even only a month ago.
Well, and you're right, Jay. Nationally, the online marketplaces and all those troubles dominated headlines. Here in New Hampshire, Todd Bookman, seemed like every other day there was a story about whether this state would join those who have expanded Medicaid, as envisioned by the Affordable Care Act, or those that have not. It's about 50-50 at this point. What happened here in New Hampshire with that big piece of the Affordable Care Act that was supposed to go into place last year?
Yeah, this has been really an ongoing saga here. Remember that in most states pre-ACA, to qualify for Medicaid, you had to be poor and something else. So poor and disabled, poor and a child, poor and pregnant. Expansion under the ACA means simply being poor would be enough. So income levels below about $15,000 for an individual, $32,000 for a family of four, that could get you coverage through Medicaid. And New Hampshire, the estimates are somewhere between 50 and 60,000 residents. We had the Supreme Court ruling that upheld the individual mandate for the Affordable Care Act, but denied the Obama administration's plan to have expansion in every state. It left this choice up to the states. And here in New Hampshire, we started this debate really kick into gear last spring. There was a bill put forward by former House Speaker Bill O'Brien that sought to prohibit an expansion. That bill was defeated. Democrats, though, weren't able to push through any legislation that did expand the health program. We then saw this come up during budget negotiations in June. Governor Hassan really pushed for it. GOP senators, though, instead delayed any decision. And what they did, they wanted to create a study commission. And that commission spent the summer meeting. We had really thrilling sort of 2 and 3 hour policy heavy meetings. The group finally put out a vote and recommendation in October. It did approve a plan for expansion. And the plan was similar to what Arkansas was proposing. This was sort of a quasi look at expansion that was going to use a lot more private insurance than traditional Medicaid for the bulk of the recipients. After that special study commission spent the summer, though, a legislative special session gathered in November.
Yeah, which is doesn't happen all the time. But Governor Hassan called people back, come back to Concord, let's vote on this Medicaid thing.
Right, and we had 2 weeks of sort of Medicaid in the spotlight yet again. And we saw Democrats in the House and Republicans in the Senate not really able to square away a time frame. This really came down to timing and how quickly to transition people from Medicaid into private insurance. And at the end, the whole package basically fell apart. And there was no expansion pushed forward in New Hampshire.
And just to put a tail end on that, they are going to grab this again, right, when the legislature reconvenes, Todd?
We will see this throughout the spring as well come up for debate. Democrat Cindy Rosenwald in the House has already put forward a Medicaid expansion bill. So I think we will continue to see this issue come up. It's sort of too soon to know what exactly the debate will look like, if it'll be very similar to what we saw in the special session. A lot of sort of fighting back and forth about timing. It really remains to be seen what will happen here.
Okay, and I've got a question for you too, Jay, on Medicaid and the expansion in some states, not in other states, but I also want to invite our listeners to join us with your questions and comments about what might happen with the Affordable Care Act in the new year, in 2014. If you've signed up for coverage on the new marketplaces, what was your experience? Was it a good one? Was it a bad one? Also, how do you hope the legislature votes on Medicaid expansion? And later on this year, how do you think the ACA will play out in our fall elections here in the Granite State? The number 1-800-892-6477, 1-800-892-NHPR. Email is exchange at nhpr.org. You can also post a comment on our Facebook page. It's NHPR Exchange, all one word. Again, the number 1-800-892-6477. And Jay Hancock, I'm real interested in your thoughts, too, on the few states, including New Hampshire, that it took a long time to decide on Medicaid or are still in that undecided mode. How small is that group now?
It's shrinking, but it's still a fairly large group. As you said, it's about half and half now, the states that have decided to expand Medicaid and the states that have not yet expanded Medicaid. But a lot of the states that are in the no camp are in the sort of no but camp and are still thinking about it. As many have pointed out, this is entirely funded by the federal government for the first years of the program, and then it goes to 90% that the feds that Washington finances, and the states have to finance the rest. So that's a pretty big carrot for states, and in a lot of states, the Democrats especially are holding that out as a reason to expand. What's happening is that something of a compromise is emerging in terms of expanding Medicaid in a way that Republicans can embrace. And Todd alluded to that, which is this Arkansas model in which you are basically given a voucher if you're on Medicaid to go shop in the exchange, just as the higher income people are doing on healthcare.gov, to go choose your plan. And because it looks less like public insurance and more involvement from the private sector, that is something that we're seeing states like Arkansas certainly embrace. Pennsylvania's interested in it. Iowa's interested in it. And New Hampshire is as well.
Yeah, and that's what's interesting, Jay, is, this connection between Medicaid expansion and the exchanges, or the marketplaces, as the administration started calling them halfway through the year. It's tricky, though, because you have this Medicaid hope pinned on the marketplaces, but the marketplaces have had problems, Jay. So there's sort of a disconnect there.
The marketplaces have had problems. However, they are improving, and what the Obama administration and Democrats in many states like to point out is that this has a precedent. Everybody points to Medicare Part D, which was the 2006, I believe, expansion of prescription drug coverage for seniors on the Medicare program for those over 65 and disabled and some other populations. And that, too, saw problems in the beginning. That, too, saw sign-up glitches, people dropped from the rolls, people who thought they had coverage who weren't, which we're expecting to see now, you know, with this January 1st going live of Obamacare now. And that was eventually worked out. Granted, Obamacare is a much, much bigger enterprise, and the challenges are much greater. The populations are greater. The complexity of the program is greater. We've got not just the private exchange, private insurance being sold through the computers, but we have the Medicaid expansion and trying to tie all that together. The expectation is that the computers eventually will start working well. That doesn't automatically save Obamacare. That doesn't necessarily guarantee that it will work, but the computers will end up working well. And if this model ends up being something that the country embraces, there's some expectation that Medicaid can be folded into that. But as you say, that depends on the larger picture.
Okay, and Todd, I got a question about New Hampshire, too, for you, but I'll save it for after a short break. We'll start taking your calls and questions and comments, too, after the break. The number 1-800-892-6477. Email exchange at nhpr.org. Post a comment on our Facebook page if you'd like. It's NHPR Exchange, all one word. We're looking at what to expect for the Affordable Care Act in the new year, and we want your questions, personal experiences, comments, 1-800-892-6477.
Good morning, it's The Exchange on New Hampshire Public Radio. It's 919. NHPR is more than our daily broadcast. You can check out our website to find out the latest state, national, and international news as it breaks. You can listen back to a story that you might have missed or only caught a part of, and you can also find related stories about something that interests you. There's always something more at nhpr.org. Support for New Hampshire Public Radio comes from you, our members, and from the New Hampshire Moose License Plate Program, thanking drivers for supporting the Granite State's natural, historical, and cultural heritage. More information online at mooseplate.com. It's 9:20. This is member-supported New Hampshire Public Radio.
This is The Exchange. I'm Laura Kanoy. Today in The Exchange, we're looking at the Affordable Care Act in 2014 as some of the final key components of this law kick into place as of the new year. Let's hear from you, too. 1-800-892-6477. Email exchange at nhpr.org. Post a comment on our Facebook page if you'd like. NHPR Exchange, all one word. Joining us for the hour, Todd Bookman, NHPR's health reporter. And from D.C., Jay Hancock, reporter for Kaiser Health News. Gentlemen, let's go to our listeners now. And Matt is joining us from where? Hi, Matt. Go ahead. You're on the air.
Hi, Laura. I'm concerned about data security. In particular, I'd like to know what financial data we have to put into the website and whether it's vulnerable.
And can I ask you, Matt, are you planning to sign up on the marketplaces or?
I tried three times and couldn't get through it.
Really? So you're uncovered now, basically?
No, I was covered beforehand and my plan is grandfathered in.
I see. All right. So what are you going to do, Matt? I'm just curious.
I'm going to ride out 2014 with my existing plan. Mm-hmm. And wait and see how the data security thing shakes out.
Okay, Matt, thanks for calling. I'm guessing there are other people who are going to ride out 2014 and see what happens in 2015. But about data security, maybe, Jay, to you first. I thought of this, too, just this morning, you know, with that breach at Target hitting 40 million customers using their credit cards. You can't blame Americans for being a little worried about their online data.
No, and you can't blame them since they're seeing the manifold other problems that the exchange marketplace sites have experienced. If they can't get the basic software right to sign somebody up and register them, you wonder about the security, and a lot of people have that concern. To answer the caller's question, you do have to enter, you know, fairly sensitive private information if you're interested in receiving federal tax credits to help pay for this. And for listeners, those tax credits are pretty generous. They start for at $94,000 and below for a family of four, and I believe it's about $60,000 and change for a single person. And to get those, you have to put in your Social Security number. You have to put in information about your income, addresses, and so forth. So it's not something that you'd want to see hacked, and it is a concern. We haven't heard any reports on breaches so far, but it's understandable that people like the caller are a little bit worried about it.
Sure, and you also probably have to put in health information too, right? And who wants that hacked?
Absolutely.
Well, Todd, can you address Matt's other point that I thought was so interesting? I'm wondering if there are a lot of people in this boat. He said, I'm just going to ride out 2014 and then see what happens. I'm getting a sense that a lot of folks are going to do that.
Yeah, I think the frustrations with the website have certainly played into that. Also, remember, the individual mandate, the penalties in year one are actually fairly low, $95 for an individual, up to 1% of income, whichever is higher. You know, for a lot of people, that is going to be cheaper, certainly cheaper than buying health insurance, even when the penalties sort of ramp up to their full level of, I think it's roughly $700 for an individual. That's still going to look less than health insurance for a lot of people, especially the people that aren't going to get the subsidies. This has been a concern of backers of the law, because what you really need for this law to be a success long term is you need everybody in. You need everybody to buy into these policies in the individual market to create some real stability there. And key to that are the so-called young invincibles, you know, people that haven't yet had any health issues and therefore may not think that they, you know, need to buy health insurance. And it's, you know, might also be a sort of larger chunk of their income, you know, late 20, early 30 something, may not feel like health insurance is the best thing to spend money on right now. And so I think we may see a group ride out year one, certainly in New Hampshire. You know, the lack of competition in the marketplace may also feed into that. People that don't see their own local hospital or doctor in their network in New Hampshire may say, well, why am I going to get into this right now when I can't even go see my local doctor? So it's sort of, you know, too soon to tell. We don't have all the data out yet on how many signups. We may not see that for a while, and we may not get a lot of demographic information yet out of anybody either. So, you know, certainly too soon to know what the pool, so-called pool, will look like in New Hampshire. But I think there are going to be a lot of people like Matt that say, you know what, I'm going to see what happens here and then maybe get in the following year.
Well, and Matt, thanks for calling. And Jay, just to put a final point on that, the administration itself towards the end of 2013 made it a little easier for people to, like Matt, to ride out the year, right? They said, okay, some of these plans, you can still buy them for a little while longer and so forth.
Yep. There were complicated rules about keeping the health plan that you had. Initially, they were going to be grandfathered like Matt's plan, and there were lots of stipulations that a grandfathered plan had to meet in order for you to keep it. It turned out that a lot of plans flunked those rules, and so when reminded in very forceful terms that he had promised numerous times that if Americans liked their health plans, they could keep them, Obama had HHS change the rules at the end of the year so that you could hang on to the plan that you had, even if it wasn't officially, quote-unquote, grandfathered. If the state you were in allowed that, and if the insurance company chose to do that, it wasn't binding on anybody, but a lot of insurance companies in some states chose to allow that to happen. And so what that does is it keeps people on plans that are not fully compliant with the Affordable Care Act. They might not cover some of the essential health benefits that are required in the law. It's more likely that they don't have the lifetime caps on benefits that's required under the law. And for most people, that looks like good enough insurance. And it sounds like a lot of people are going to take that option to keep that if they have it through 2014.
Again, our number
and beyond, actually, we should say. In some cases, if the plans expire this year, they'll extend even into 2015.
Yeah, and there'll be some big changes here in New Hampshire in 2015, which I want to ask you about later, Todd. Some more participants perhaps in these marketplaces. Again, the number for you to join us is 1-800-892-6477. Email exchange at nhpr.org. Again, 1-800-892-6477. Post a comment on our Facebook page if you'd like. NHPR Exchange, all one word. Gentlemen, here's an email from Rob. He says, I went to healthcare.gov this morning to see what plans may be available for our 28-year-old son. After answering all the questions it asked, it reset, sending me back to the first question as if I had never answered any of them. I did the whole thing again and again, was bounced back to the first question, still not working. Looks like he stays uncovered and pays the penalty. We can't even get it to tell us what's available. Wow, Jay, what do you think about this? Still lots of trouble. Thanks, Rob, for the email.
Yeah, I mean, that's one person's experience. What we're hearing in aggregate is that it's working for most people most of the time, but more evidence that this thing is not perfect. And Rob is just seeing, as we said, the front end of the system where the customers go on, log in their information, enter all their information, and get some kind of confirmation that they've signed up. There's a whole other part of the system which has to talk to the insurance company and get that information to the health plan that you have chosen. And there are many, many reports that that is not working perfectly either and may be, in fact, working less well than the still far, imperfect front end. And that's having practical effects. It's expected to have practical effects for people who signed up last week or November or whenever and are expecting to use that coverage to go participate and buy healthcare services this week, starting yesterday. If you want to go get a prescription filled at a pharmacy and you want to put it on your health plan, if everything works right, you're going to have had the insurance company acknowledge that you're a member, send you a membership card, and you'll have that card at the pharmacy. We're hearing that in some cases, at least, that is not happening. The administration, you'll recall, extended the deadline to sign up to Christmas Eve,
right,
December 24th, and that wasn't that long ago. And insurance companies are more used to a slower pace of enrollment. They're used to having people sign up and you getting your membership card, weeks later. And so there was this big rush to get everybody registered, everybody signed up, and it's a fairly sure bet that that will not have worked totally perfectly. And we're going to see continued workarounds, continued problems with the computers on both the front end and the back end, as listener Rob has experienced.
Rob, thanks for the email. Todd, you want to jump in, and then we'll go back to our listeners.
Yeah, one thing Rob mentioned was sort of an inability to window shop the plans. He wasn't able to actually look at the policies without first entering in all this other information. And that was a frustration, certainly in October when these websites launched. You think about Expedia or Kayak, these airplane ticket purchasing websites. You can do your searches first before you have to enter in the information about yourself. There's now a new option in New Hampshire. We've got a website that just launched, coveringnewhampshire.org, coveringnh.org. It's this website that you can search through the 11 different plans that Anthem is offering, do a sort of detailed comparison shop first. You can't buy through that website, but it'll then connect you to healthcare.gov, where obviously,
sure.
So it's working for some, not working
and
for others.
And it's a big decision, so I like the verb you chose there, window shop the plans before you, start
right.
entering
this
all the sensitive information.
Certainly more complicated than buying an airline ticket. There's a lot of options to weigh. We've got the metal levels that people need to choose from. Health insurance is complicated. This is tough stuff. There are good sort of glossary of terms out there for folks looking to learn more about health insurance, but this process perhaps should take a little while. You should really think about what you're buying because it could really impact you down the line.
All right, let's take another call. And Dave is waiting in Henniker. Hi, Dave. You're on the air. Go ahead.
Hi, I've got a question for Todd. I'm an employer. I've got one employee that needs health care, and I provide that out of my own pocket. And so they're paying the rate for somebody in their 50s and not in a pool. And but they live in the Concord area, and they need to have Concord doctors and Concord Hospital. Are any of the plans that are talking about coming into the state, into the network, are they going to be offering services for people in other hospitals besides those served by Anthem?
Oh, Dave, this is a great question. And Todd, I wanted to ask you about this. And you too, Jay Hancock. This brings up the whole narrow network issue. Now, for those who aren't familiar, just remind us, Todd, there was an outcry over the fact that the place where Granite Staters were supposed to be able to comparison shop on the Expedia or Travelocity-like marketplace actually only had one provider, Anthem Blue Cross Blue Shield. And as our caller mentions, some hospitals are included and some aren't.
Right, right. Anthem, I think it surprised a lot of people when it sort of turned out that Anthem was the only player that decided to jump in 2014. They announced their network, and it's a narrower network than they've traditionally offered. So any plans purchased through the exchange, any individual plans purchased through the exchange or off exchange that's an Anthem product is going to have this narrow network. 10 of the state's hospitals are left out of that network, and that includes Concord Hospital, which
is a big provider.
It is a big provider, and it's certainly frustrating for people in this area, although we should point out that there are other facilities here. There are other primary care doctors that can be seen. You can still go to any emergency room in the state with these products. It doesn't mean that if you're, you can still go to Concord's ER if you're having a medical emergency. I did a story about a family in the Peterborough area, very frustrated about Monadnock Hospital being left out of their network, and there's some indecision about what to do. But for Dave, it's very kind of you to offer that health insurance for your employee, but they will likely not be able to get those services at Concord Hospital if you purchase through Anthem.
This year, and then there are other insurers probably coming into
right.
New Hampshire in 2015.
Right. We're hearing about two more players that have said they want to get in 2015. They are Harvard Pilgrim and Minuteman Health. Both are Massachusetts-based nonprofits. Harvard Pilgrim is certainly well-known in this state. They do a lot of other group policies. Both plans, we should say, will still need the approval of regulators. It could be very interesting to watch how these plans compete in 2015. We've got Anthem with the narrow network. They said that they were able to hold down prices by excluding 10 of these hospitals. We may see Harvard Pilgrim come in with a skinnier network and may really try to compete on price. They've got a product out there right now that only has about five state hospitals in it. So we may see them with a very narrow plan. Minuteman Health has said they're going to go with a very broad plan. They're going to try to get all of the hospitals. Now, we really don't know what it's going to look like in 2015, but that would give consumers a lot of different choices, which could be very good. You could sort of see what hospitals are included and make your choices based on that and, weigh premium prices, weigh deductibles, weigh all this and the hospital. So we could see a very good sort of marketplace situation in 2015, but some ways off.
But it's only January.
Right.
January 1st, 2014. Thank you so much for that call, Dave. And Jay, I'd love to ask you, too. Narrow networks, huge outcry here in the Granite State. But this is not just a New Hampshire phenomenon. From what I've read, this is a trend elsewhere, right?
It's a trend elsewhere. Anthem, as you know, is owned by WellPoint. Anthem is sort of their subsidiary with the Blue Cross label, and they have Blue Cross plans in many states. And the New Hampshire template that they've put down is pretty much what they've done in their other states, and what other insurance companies have done as well. The idea is that they will lower healthcare prices, have cheaper premiums for consumers than they otherwise would have been by going to a select group of hospitals and doctors and getting discounts per procedure from them in exchange for higher volume. And so Anthem in New Hampshire says that their network reduced what the premium would have been by 25%. That's a substantial amount. There's probably a bit of PR puffery built into that. But even if it's half that, it's still real money. And let's remember that the number two problem in healthcare in this country has been price. The number one problem is access. Not enough people have access to the coverage they need. But the price of healthcare is basically twice as high here as it is in every other developed nation in the world. And one of the reasons for that is the market power that a lot of hospitals that have very large market shares in their community and have sort of become must-have hospitals that everybody wants, they've kind of been able to raise their prices at will. And the insurance companies see these narrow networks as a way to get back against that and maybe offer people who are willing to trade in switching doctors, going to a hospital that maybe they're not used to for a little bit lower price.
Wow. So, you know, this is solving or helping, Jay, with the price issue. But you've got people here in the grandstand anyway saying it's not helping with the access issue, those who are going to have to drive, you know, half an hour to see somebody new.
Yeah, it's a problem. Concord was very vocal about getting left out. Frisbee Memorial has also been vocal. And I suspect you're going to be doing stories about legislation. When the legislature gets together this month, there's a bill, as I understand it, there's a bill pending that would – I talked to Representative Bill Nelson a few weeks ago. He's got a bill that would restrict these narrow networks and allow wider access, and that's going to be something for the legislature to talk about. Again, it's going to be cost versus access. As Todd says, you know, maybe 2015 will bring a market solution to the access problem, but it's sure not going to happen this year. And it's not helped by Anthem's, you know, huge market share in your state.
Well, and Todd, when Lisa Girton, the head of Anthem, was sort of hauled before the state legislature and she stood her ground, she said, look, people want lower costs. This helps lower cost. You can't have everything. You're going to have to drive. Can the legislature really do anything about this business decision? I mean, this is a business, and this is how they have chosen to operate.
Right. We have at least one bill in that would seek to include at least one hospital in every county in the networks. There's some other legislation pending. A lot of this is written by the insurance department, though. This is regulations written by the insurance department. And I looked into this issue last year, and what we saw is that, you know, Anthem surely complies with the rules as they are written. And so I'm not sure we're going to see a change unless we see some real pressure on those rules. Some insurance department regulators did tell me that they thought it may be time just because they haven't looked at these rules in such a long time. But, you know, Anthem is interesting. You know, they really said that before they launched this narrow network policy, they did some research, they did some polling, and they heard overwhelmingly that people would trade access for price. So it's interesting now that we're hearing the opposite. We're hearing so many frustrated consumers saying the opposite, that they want their local doctors, they want their local hospitals. So, you know, a lot of frustration. I'm not sure how things will play out, but we may get more competition, which could sort of simplify the whole equation.
All right. More of your calls and emails after a short break. The number 1-800-892-6477.
It's The Exchange on New Hampshire Public Radio. Good morning. Support for NHPR comes from you, our members, and from Plymouth State University, offering graduate degrees, programs in the arts and sciences, business, and education to take your career to the next level. Plymouth.edu/graduate. Coming up at 10 o'clock, it's The Diane Rehm Show on New Hampshire Public Radio. It's 9:40.
On the next Diane Rehm Show, health insurance coverage begins through the Affordable Care Act, then the future of space exploration, all coming up on the Diane Rehm Show.
This is The Exchange. I'm Laura Kanoy. Today in The Exchange, we're looking at what the new year means for the Affordable Care Act, both nationally and here in New Hampshire. Let's hear from you. 1-800-892-6477. Do you see this law heading in the right direction or not? Have you signed up for coverage on the new marketplace? If so, what was your experience? Also, how do you hope our legislature votes on Medicaid expansion this year? And in the fall, how do you think the ACA will play out in the midterm elections? Give us a call. We'd love your thoughts. 1-800-892-6477. Email exchange at nhpr.org. You can also post a comment on our Facebook page. That's NHPR Exchange, all one word. Our guests again are Todd Bookman, NHPR's health reporter, and Jay Hancock, reporter for Kaiser Health News. And gentlemen, lots of calls and emails that I'd like to share with you. Here's one from Anne. She says, after four tries, I successfully signed up for health care in New Hampshire on Friday. Anne says, I received 4 policies from Anthem. Now I have to cancel 3. I can't believe it is so difficult to do this. Just real quick, Jay Hancock, this gets to what you talked about earlier. It's getting better, but it's still not perfect.
Boy, that's a real indicator of what's going on. Insurance companies have been talking about, in the last week or so, they've been talking about their experience with what they call ghosts and orphans. And Anne has just outed herself as a ghost. And I'll tell you what ghosts are. They are customers that the insurance companies think they have that are down in their censuses as customers, new customers that signed up, but that they don't really have. And in Anne's case, they have 1 real customer and 3 ghost customers, and that is something that their computers and their customer service people and Anne herself are going to have to work out. The other problem that they're talking about are orphans, which is sort of the opposite. Imagine if Anne had signed up and the insurance company didn't know she existed. She thought she bought a plan. She got a confirmation on healthcare.gov. But when she calls the insurance company to try to confirm that she has the policy, she's not there. That's happening as well. I've heard more orphan anecdotes than I have ghost anecdotes, but it just demonstrates the imperfection of the back end of the marketplace website that we're talking about. I think we're going to be hearing more stories about what Anne is talking about. The good news is she has coverage. The insurance company will work it out, but there's a lot more work to do.
Okay. Well, Anne, thanks for that email. Here's another one. This is Tina. She says, one of the items we noticed when shopping on the exchange is that the monthly premium for health insurance has skyrocketed along with the deductibles. My understanding is that having mandated health insurance was so that the pool of the uninsured would be greater. Tina says, insurance works by spreading the risk throughout the pool. So wouldn't it make sense that in enlarging the risk pool, the premium should have gone down and not up? I'd love to hear from both of you on this. You first, Todd. Some folks have been pleased that their premiums have gone down, and some folks, like Tina, have been surprised that it's not as cheap as they had hoped.
There are certainly winners and there are certainly losers in New Hampshire and nationally when it comes to now buying health insurance in the individual market. Premiums for younger consumers are likely going to be up. Premiums for the sort of grayer end of the spectrum, up to 65, will likely come down a little bit. There's now sort of more limited age rating built into the system. So we will see that sort of natural thing happen.
I see.
For Tina, though, she may be getting more for what she is buying. The deductibles are now capped, but there's a lot more services included. The essential health benefits that Jay referenced earlier, things like, you know, prescription coverage, mental health coverage, hospital care, maternity care, all that is now built into the individual market. And so we're going to see, you know, people are now buying those services that they may not actually use. But the thought is to get everybody covered, get everybody all these services. Hopefully we'll see a healthier population. And over time, hopefully we'll see some sort of stabilizing of these costs, and we may see, you know, at least the increase, the skyrocketing, you know, decrease. We may see sort of a slower rise in the cost of health insurance. Some other parts of the law seek to tackle that, some sort of caps on administrative costs that the insurance companies can use. We're seeing some reforms in payments towards the hospitals, especially for things like Medicare, things like that. So we may see some controls, but you know, the focus in the first early years of this law really have to do with access, with increasing access, and less to do with cost.
Kind of like Massachusetts, Todd, right?
Right.
Access first, cost later, and they've had trouble with.
They've
costs.
Had trouble. Their costs are, you know, still quite high, one of the highest in the country, along with New Hampshire. But they have, you know, upwards of 95% of their population now able to use insurance. It was interesting. We did see a sort of a slight spike in the number of ER visits after their initial rollout some years back. And, you know, one thing we have to remember is that people that haven't had insurance or that don't know how to, you know, you have to learn how to use your insurance. You have to understand your copays and deductibles. And just because you have coverage doesn't mean you can now go to the, you know, emergency room and not have to pay for it. Your deductible for that is still, you know, sort of quite high. So I think there's a learning curve here to insurance that we'll have to get over first.
All right, lots more calls that we can go to, and let's take Frank waiting in Antrim. Hi, Frank, you're on the exchange. Thanks for calling in.
Yeah, thanks for taking my call. It's really a quick question. I've been in large corporate insurance plans over the years, but in between several of those jobs, I was able to use COBRA So my question is, what's happening to COBRA in the context of the Affordable Care Act? Has that gone away? And if I do get in between jobs again, do I have to sign up for the Affordable Care Act?
Oh, Frank, it's a good question. Yeah, and I've used COBRA once myself in between jobs. This is where, for folks who don't know, you're able to extend, you pay for it, but you're able to extend your old insurance for a number of months after you leave a particular job. Jay Hancock, what about that?
That's a terrific question. COBRA still exists. The 1990s law that created it is still there. A lot of people think it will shrink dramatically in terms of how many people use it each year because COBRA is very expensive. COBRA typically involves you paying the full cost of your premium. You're allowed to stay on your previous employer's plan, but the employer is not contributing their share of the premium anymore. And typically, employers pay 75, 70%, 60% of the total health care cost, which for a family can be $15,000 a year for the premium. When you transition out of your employer and stay on your plan through COBRA, you have to pay the whole dime. You have to pay 100%. And so compared with that, a lot of analysts believe that going on the exchange and in some cases getting a subsidy, there are very generous tax credits, as we mentioned before, that help you pay for these things. And if you're unemployed, your income probably isn't going to be particularly high anyway, so you're more likely to qualify for the subsidy. And a lot of people think that COBRA will just sort of fade into insignificance after a few years if the whole Obamacare marketplace thing gets legs and flies and becomes sustainable.
Todd, did you want to jump in there?
Yeah, there's also something, Frank, you know about called the hardship exemption. That is, we have an enrollment period now for people that want to buy their own policies. And that this year runs through March 31st. You can't then buy insurance through the exchanges again until the fall, except for certain categories of people. If you move to a new state, you have a hardship exemption and you're able to now purchase on the exchange and qualify potentially for those subsidies, things like divorce or job loss. So if you do find yourself in between work outside of the enrollment period, you can still qualify for the exchange policies and possibly the subsidies.
Here's a great quick question that came in from Penny, who asks, will you be able to take insurance out of state? Jay, I hadn't even thought about that. So let's say I sign up for, you know, on the marketplace here in New Hampshire, and then I go to Maine and visit a friend and I get sick.
It depends on the plan and it depends on the network. Typically, Blue Cross plans like the ones Anthem offers, I can't swear to this, but I think it's probably likely that when you sign up for an Anthem Blue Cross plan, you have benefits that are sort of you have benefits in other states. Most health plans will allow you, as you mentioned earlier, to visit any emergency room if you have an emergency, and that will be reimbursed. However, if you're in a narrow network plan, if you're in an HMO, like some of these plans like Kaiser Permanente and Humana are offering in some other states, you need to look carefully at that and see what the fine print is and see what your options are.
Yeah, that gets to the whole silver, bronze, platinum, gold, et cetera. So, okay, thanks for that email, Penny. Let's go back to our callers. Michael's joining us from Newmarket. Hi, Michael. You're on the air. Go ahead.
Hi, Laura. Thanks for taking my call. I'm glad that you're talking about the narrow networks and that this was Anthem's decision and not Senator Shaheen or President Obama who inflicted this upon our residents. I was able to get the insurance through the ACA. It's not easy. It got easier after December. And so I'm looking forward to having the coverage, but of course I won't be able to go to my doctors unless I'm willing to pay for it. It's unfortunate, but again, this is not really part of the ACA. This is not new. We've had HMOs telling you where you could go and where you couldn't go. We've been doing that with employer-sponsored insurance for years. And this was kind of what Senator Dole warned about. You didn't want to have bureaucrats deciding your care, but the private sector gets to do it because we don't have single payer. So
Michael, thank you for calling in. And it's a real interesting point. He's starting to get into the politics, gentlemen, and I did want to ask you about that. Todd Bookman, a lot of people say that the Affordable Care Act will be the number one issue on the agenda for our midterm elections. What do you think?
And that issue that Michael brought up about people not being able to use the doctors that they perhaps have used in the past under other insurance plans, that's already become an issue. We've seen radio ads against House members Annie Custer and Carol Shea Porter on exactly that issue. I'm sure those will intensify as we get closer to November. You know, Senator Jean Shaheen, she was one of the more vocal Democratic critics of the health care launch, the sloppy rollout. She pushed for an extension of the enrollment period beyond the end of March. I'm sure her opponent, whether it's Scott Brown or whoever else decides to take a run, you know, will certainly make this a centerpiece issue. You know, this is something that it's very easy to create sort of radio and TV ads that paint that issue that Michael brings up in a very negative light. Another issue that I expect we'll see in November locally here is Medicaid expansion. That's going to be a campaign theme. Supporters of Governor Hassan criticizing Republicans for potentially blocking an expansion, or the other way around, Hassan's opponents criticizing her for, you know, trying to grow government. You know, healthcare will certainly be there come November.
Here's an email that came in from Art. And Art, it's long, so I may truncate it a little bit, so I hope I get it right. Art says, the executive branch of government is charged with the management of federal programs. The Obama administration has been acting like charismatic gurus, not leaders with expertise in implementation. The administration has asked for forgiveness, but the fact is it was negligent. Art says, where is the outrage? Healthcare is life and death, but is being treated by the Obama administration as just another boutique program with few consequences for the people. Here's Art's specific question. He says, the Affordable Care Act has disrupted the lives of many people. I'm retired and have had my Medicare supplement plan canceled. My next least expensive replacement is five times as expensive for relatively the same coverage, and my Rite Aid pharmacy is not a preferred provider. For a resident of rural north of New Hampshire, that means I must now make a 30-mile round trip to the closest preferred pharmacy. Now, Art, lots of issues. Thank you so much for that email. I guess I want to ask about one to you, Jay Hancock. Art is on Medicare. That's the federal program that provides health coverage for older Americans over 65. Is that affected a lot by the ACA, at all by the ACA, or how?
No, the ACA has nothing to do with the changes that he's seeing. And it's a problem of perception for the Affordable Care Act as well as for consumers, because for opponents of the ACA, it's easy to blame everything that changes in health care on Obamacare, and that's not always the case. Healthcare in America has been evolving for a long, long time. The Medicare market continues to really change and really be dynamic. What we're seeing is more and more Medicare beneficiaries moving into so-called Medicare Advantage plans, which are basically managed healthcare plans run by large insurance companies. Medicare Classic was sort of where you it was a fee-for-service plan. You went to your doctor. Medicare paid for it. That is now changing, and along with that, the Medicare supplement programs that he mentions are also changing. Costs continue to go up for Medicare, I should say, not Medicaid. Costs continue to go up for Medicare as well. Companies, employers that offer retiree health coverage are trying to deal with that. Changes are going on. The ACA has very little effect on Medicare.
So, but you're saying that a lot of people perceive that increases that were going to happen anyway, or cutbacks that were going to happen anyway, are being blamed on the Affordable Care Act, even if there isn't a connection? Is that what you're saying?
This is going on in the employer-sponsored health insurance market as well. Employers continue to be hit with fairly substantial increases in their health care costs, although it's slowed down substantially since the recession in 2008 and 2009. But they're continuing to pass new costs to employees. They're continuing to raise their own deductibles. They're continuing to put in what are called consumer-directed health plans, where the employee has more exposure to the costs. The employee is supposed to shop around and try to figure out what the best care is at the lowest costs, even though employees aren't often equipped to do that. And That is being blamed on Obamacare as well. That, again, that has little to do with what's in the Affordable Care Act and has more to do with employers just getting tired of shouldering these this health care inflation every year, trying to figure out some way to combat it. And employer-sponsored health care is going to change as well. You're going to hear that blamed on the Affordable Care Act. But, again, it's more a function of healthcare inflation and private enterprises trying to control their costs.
Okay, and here's a super short email that just came in from Honey, who says, please tell folks to use navigators and insurance brokers if they're having trouble. Honey says, these people are waiting to help. Todd Bookman, final thoughts from you about what may happen in the coming months here in New Hampshire concerning the Affordable Care Act.
Yeah, we're going to see a few sort of key markers. I think the end of March, when the enrollment period ends, March 31st, I think we'll see a sort of, you know, resurgence and interest in this law and focus on the website. We're going to see, you know, this certainly play out in November throughout the legislative session as well with Medicaid expansion. And then in 2015, when the employer mandate kicks in, the one-year delay of the employer mandate will sort of come due. And I think we'll see a lot of interest in how larger companies, 50 or more employees, handle that issue of whether or not pay the fine or offer insurance for their employers. So certainly a lot to watch.
And not a restful year for you and Jay Hancock, that's for sure. Lots to cover. Jay Hancock, thank you so much for giving us your time. We really appreciate it.
You're welcome.
Jay Hancock, reporter for Kaiser Health News. And as always, Todd Bookman, thanks for helping us out.
Thank you, Laura.
Todd Bookman, NHPR's health reporter. The Exchange is a production of New Hampshire Public Radio. The engineer this week is Mike Danielli. Our producers are Ellen Grimm and Faith Meixel. Our volunteer is Alan Cohen. Our intern is James Pouliot. Our theme music was composed by Bob Lord. The executive producer is Keith Shields. And I'm Laura Kanoy.
The views expressed in this program are those of the individuals and not those of NHPR, its Board of Trustees, or its underwriters. If you missed any part of today's program, listen to The Exchange anytime at nhpr.org.
I'm Laura Kanoy, and tomorrow on The Exchange, it's our Friday New Hampshire News Roundup. The Granite State ends the calendar year with a $72 million budget surplus and begins a new one with new laws allowing us to drive faster and drink longer. A New Hampshire resident earns a spot on the U.S. Olympic skiing team, and a Nashua lawmaker runs afoul over an issue with some ducks. Send us your thoughts by email, Facebook, and join us for The Exchange tomorrow morning live at 9 and again at 8 p.m. on NHPR.
Good morning. We're 1 minute away from 10 o'clock. The Diane Rehm Show comes your way next on New Hampshire Public Radio, whose support comes from you, our members, and from Heritage Plumbing, Heating, Cooling, and Electric, now offering electrical repair and service in addition to furnaces, boilers, and water heaters. Online at justcallheritage.com.
These are the stations of New Hampshire Public Radio.
WEVO, Concord, 89.1.
WEVS, Nashua, 88.3.
WEVH, Hanover, 91.3.
WEVN, Keene, 90.7.
WEVC, Gorham, 107.1.
WEVJ, Jackson, 99.5.
WEVF, Colebrook, 90.3.
And WEVQ, Littleton, 91.9.
And online at nhpr.org.
It's 10 o'clock.
From WAMU and NPR in Washington, I'm Diane Rehm. The Obama administration yesterday fulfilled its biggest resolution of 2014. The Affordable Care Act begins delivering health care coverage to millions of Americans nationwide. But the ACA is far from complete.